Today's podcast from Rockhampton from Beef Expo 2024, proudly presented by Collier's Agribusiness. My name is Kerry Lodigan. Hello again and a big beef welcome to the Beef Central podcast series brought to you this week from the Big Beef Expo, Rockhampton in Queensland. Today, feeling the heat, a bloke at the pointy end of the most crucial influence to face agriculture in several generations, carbon credits. The just-appointed Chief Executive Officer of Zero Net Emissions Agricultural Cooperative Research Centre, Richard Heath. Richard, welcome.
Thanks, Kerry. Happy to be here.
Congratulations on your appointment.
I'm really excited about being in the role. It's a really great opportunity.
What's your background? I know you've got an academic background, but where from before that?
So most of my life I've been a farmer. I was part of a family farm on the Liverpool Plains, about 40 kilometres south of Gunnedah. Typical farm for the region, mostly grain and cotton, but also a pretty significant cattle enterprise and a feedlot as well.
So that's a great start. A lot of listeners would think a bush rooster.
Yeah.
But then the academia, you went to university, yes?
I had a science degree from University of Sydney. I was really fortunate in the farming family that I was part of that, right from my great-grandfather who established the farm, that we always had an understanding of doing the stuff that had to be done off-farm in terms of advocacy, in terms of R&D. We were always involved in agri-politics, in doing trials with state departments, with universities. And so I was exposed to that really as part of the culture of our family farming business. And so I was very fortunate just through having that exposure to do a Nuffield scholarship. And then that led to doing more off-farm work through organisations like the Grains Research and Development Corporation. Yeah. And then that led to opportunities post my farming career in a farming business to then work with universities in academic roles, yes, all the way up to what I'm doing now.
You spent some time with the GIDC, but do you also spend some time with the Australian Farm Institute?
So I've been executive director of the AFI for the last 8 years before this role, which was an absolutely wonderful position. The Australian Farm Institute, I think, is a real asset for the agricultural community in that it is just genuinely independent. It was why it was put together in the first place by New South Wales farmers as the founding member, to have an independent policy research organisation who could be relied on to put forward positions that were just entirely factual and evidence-based. And that just gives you so much freedom, really, to operate and to look at issues when your whole purpose for being is that independence.
Now, where you are now, I would suggest, given the nature of what faces you, the sheer complexity of the challenges, alongside the fact that this carbon equation is morphing into a multi-billion dollar business, you are looking at one of the toughest gigs in agribusiness. Is that a fair perception? Or
look, it is complex, absolutely. What I think is making this job, a privilege to be in at the moment, is that the level of interest, as you've indicated, is so high in delivering solutions around emissions reduction, that the spirit of engagement, the spirit of collaboration, the sense of urgency around doing things is just really giving this CRC a huge push, and the engagement is absolutely fantastic with it.
Is a CRC independent?
It is, totally independent.
But the feds have thrown a lot of money at you, haven't
yes,
they?
Yes, so they have, but the conditions of the CRC agreement that come from the Commonwealth, there's a lot in there about the governance, about principles of governance, and it refers very specifically to having basically ASX level governance in terms of the independence of the board, the constitution, the way that it's set up. It will be an independent organisation once it is established.
So Do you have a sunset clause? Lots of
ten years.
All.
Yep. Yeah. So the funding period is for 10 years.
Right. Okay. And, but there's possibility that it could be renewed. They do that occasionally.
Less frequently now. Yeah. That they tend to do longer ones, and then it's unusual that it would then go for a second term. But that doesn't mean that it might not continue as an entity if it's commercialising technology, if it's found other opportunities. But the Commonwealth Agreement itself would be unlikely to be continued again.
So what's the, can you give our listeners a mission statement for the Zero Net Emission CRC?
It is exactly what it says on the tin. We are about achieving zero net emissions for agriculture. But really importantly, big caveat on that, in a profitable and productive way. So we are investing in technology, in systems, in capability building, in extension that will deliver solutions to farmers and help farmers adopt those solutions, but they have to be profitable and productive. You know, it is not zero net emissions at any cost. That just doesn't work. It is zero net emissions in a way that delivers win-win. In that we win by reducing emissions, but we also win by delivering productive and profitable solutions that help farm businesses grow.
Well, that's good to hear, because I don't think too many farmers would vote for a CRC that was didn't have a connection with making money.
Absolutely.
How do you start? Where's the beginning for such a complex business?
Well, literally just from an administrative point of view, the beginning is getting the Commonwealth Agreement signed and then getting all the partners signed up to be part of the CRC. Now, this is the biggest CRC that's ever been funded out of the CRC program, which again is just an indication of the level of interest in this area. So we have 73 partners, which is absolutely fantastic. And those partners
are private enterprise.
Right across the value chain, industry and government. So we have every state government, we have 11 universities, and then we have a lot of supply chain partners from retailers like Coles through all the way to the supply chain down to pharma groups as well.
So they've given you money, so they can, can they tell you what to do or suggest or...
No. So any investment that is delivered from the CRC is approved by the board, ultimately. But they participate on the basis that they work with all the rest of the partners, the universities, the research providers, to develop up projects that deliver on our mission statement, which is reducing emissions. Now, beyond that, there is obviously various milestones and categories in the areas that we will be working in that describe that in a bit more detail. And so all our partners can work together to propose projects, essentially, to the CRC that will go to meeting those milestones and delivering technology in a range of areas that can reduce emissions.
Time for a break. Back with Richard Heath from the Zero Net Emissions CRC Centre shortly. Now, the Collier's agribusiness team have multi-generational experience in the beef industry that can enable you to receive exceptional property advice and solutions to maximise your agribusiness success today. The team will deliver results that add enduring value of valuation advisory and market experience, combining our national team collaboration, strong relationships and international reach to enable our clients' goals. To accelerate your agribusiness success today, reach out on 1300 522 818, that's 1300 522 818, or visit www.austar.com, that's www.austah.com. Welcome back. Our guest today, Richard Heath, the CEO of the Zero Net Emissions Agricultural Cooperative Research Centre. One of the issues in this I hate to call it a game, but in the carbon credits business is the standardisation of measurements and benchmarking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's been a bit waffly over the last 10 or 15 years.
Yep.
What do you plan to do about that?
So we will have a program that will address that directly. Before I get to that, what I might just mention too, because I think it's really important that people understand where we're working and what we're trying to deliver out of this. We are primarily about delivering technology solutions to farmers, as I've said before, that makes them more productive and profitable in their own right as a technology solution. The carbon credit side of things, where there might be additional opportunities essentially for getting reward from a focus on carbon in and above the reward you get just from a productivity gain, that will come, but that's not our primary focus. Our primary focus is just the technology itself and how that helps a farm business be more productive and profitable. Where we can help, though, in that carbon credit space is exactly what you're talking about, in the tools, the methodologies, the calculators, the validation systems that help to measure what is happening with emissions reduction in a standardised way, that then give much more certainty and much more clarity around reward systems, whether it's a credit for offsets, whether it's a credit for insets, whether it's some other sort of payment system. We need to have a much better, much clearer, much more trusted system for measurements. And we will have one of the whole research programs in the CRC that will be focusing on doing that.
Yeah, carbon is not just carbon, is it? There are various qualities of carbon, various types of carbon.
Absolutely, and you know, I know that's a big discussion point within the red meat sector in terms of methane versus carbon dioxide and how that's accounted and how that should be treated in those systems.
Yeah, the red meat industry has more than halved greenhouse gas emissions since 2005. In fact, the figure is 64.85%.
Yeah.
The largest of any other of any sector in Australia. Will so why would you be targeting the red meat industry perhaps? Or
oh look, I think there's still gains to be made. Absolutely. I mean, a lot of that reduction has been through I hesitate to use the word accounting tricks, but essentially it's because of the reduced clearing of vegetation, which at the time that it's benchmarked back to was based on modelled forward forecasting of what vegetation clearing would be. Now, that hasn't happened, and a lot of that is because of regulatory impact, but it's also just because of management changes. That is a lot of that emissions reduction number that goes into that. There is a lot more that can be done that is much more directly related to production itself. So making the animals themselves more efficient in converting grass into meat and having less emissions come out of that. So, you know, there's a huge amount that we can do still.
So is the CRC focused entirely on agriculture or...?
It is zero net emissions from agriculture, but it is all of agriculure. So while obviously...
So you're not just targeting the red meat?
No, I mean, obviously, when you look at where the emissions come from, the red meat sector is a large proportion of the emissions, and so we will have a large amount of our investment going into the red meat sector, but we will certainly be working on every ag sector as well.
Yeah. One of the issues that I see is developing over the years as the carbon industry grows, the carbon credits industry, I wanted to call it, but I don't know whether that's correct, but is it who checks the checkers?
Look, that's a really good question. What I can say, while there is still a lot of suspicion and concern around how that happens in Australia, compared to other countries, we are doing very, very well. When you know, if you go to the US, it is just a complete wild west there in terms of competing registries, competing methodologies. I've actually spoken to farmers directly in the US that have managed to claim multiple carbon credits on the same piece of land, just because that's what the lack of credibility in the systems there allows. Now, we have a much better system here. In terms of single registries and you know, checking, but I think where there is more concern still is codes of conduct and checking of the behaviour of some of the participants in the market. Now, you know, it's not like any market, you're going to have good players and you're going to have not so good players. And particularly in emerging markets where the systems around accreditation and regulation and those sorts of things are not as well developed, there is the opportunity for that to happen. But look, there's so much of a focus on that now. You've got organisations like the ACCC that are looking at greenwashing claims and so on that, you know, I think it's being addressed quickly. And I think that, as I said, compared to a lot of other countries, we're doing pretty well.
Indeed, but where there's a pot of money and where there's human behaviour, there are bound to be scams, and agriculture is not unknown to be one of the at the apex of the scams in Australia and business period over the last 50 years or so, in all sorts of areas. So, you're not the carbon cop, though, are you?
Absolutely not. No. Look, what we will do is provide the tools and the methodologies and the calculators that can help in validation, so that when we've got, and I don't know that I'd characterize the market itself as particularly prone to scamming. Perhaps some of the products that are being sold as a potential solution for how you can make money out of the market. There are doubts about the performance of some of those products, and where we can help and where we have a role is providing the validation and technologies and measurement systems where there can be more certainty for farmers when they are looking at products and understanding whether they're going to deliver outcomes or not.
All sorts of different terrain in Australia. I mean, grazing country or farming country in Victoria, for example, is completely different to the big country cattle producers of the north. You've got to have different measuring systems, surely, and
different measuring systems, different delivery systems. The answer is yes. We have to have all of that. Now, one of this is a national program, the CRC. It was put together as a national bid, which is very ambitious, but we need to do that to recognise exactly what you're talking about, that a solution that's developed for Victoria is not going to work in the Kimberley. And so we have to have that whole of Australia approach. Now, as part of that, one of the main demonstration aspects of the CRC is going to be a network of producer demonstration sites. And we're going to have 25 of those all around the country that are designed as much as we can to the geographical distance differences, the agroclimatic zones, so that we can trial and scale up the technology in the appropriate environments.
Will the CRC play any role in creating or policing or checking, if I can use that term, the trading of carbon credits?
No.
So that's the carbon cop. That's ACCC, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes, and other organisations. But no, we won't be doing that.
So you must be referencing each other, surely, at least.
Look, again, I think our role will just be to provide the evidence base, the science, the calculators, the methodologies, the validation systems that those sorts of organisations would call on to understand whether a particular methodology or accrediting system is valid or not. Yeah. But, we just do the science and the evidence that underpins
I rang those. The ACCC the other day asking if they've ever prosecuted anyone about a carbon infringement.
Right.
Or 4 or 5 days later, they didn't get back to me. So I assume they haven't prosecuted anybody. Are you aware of anything like that?
I'm not aware that they have, no.
Okay. I want to look briefly on some overseas incidents of huge trading scam in Europe. I'm sure you're aware of this one, are you? The VAT, the carbon credits being bought without VAT and then being sold with VAT. And
I hadn't heard of that one. No,
it's substantial. And the carbon carbon sequestration will be in the arsenal, won't that in Australia?
Of carbon trading schemes. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it should be. Soil carbon, storing carbon in soil, That's a really critical part of the emissions reduction story. Mm-hmm. But there are still a lot of scientific questions that need to be answered, and methods that need to be developed to understand how we can do that repeatedly, reliably, credibly. And again, that is what the role of the CRC is, mm-hmm. to look at that sort of science, so that we can have confidence in doing that as a genuine part of the emissions reduction story.
So where do you start in all of this? I assume that you'll have to formulate, well, the structure of your secretariat, and also where you target first. I mean...
So, look, you know, real credit to the, particularly the University of Queensland and the Department of Ag and Fisheries Queensland, that were the leads in putting this bid together, in the way that they brought the partners together around the bid and really started to scope up and work on project ideas as it went along. Now, we've got stuff... a lot of research that will basically be ready to go almost immediately as soon as we get money in the bank and have agreements signed, right. That we can progress with research and development. Because, you know, as you would imagine, there is a huge amount going on in this space already. RDCs, universities, state governments, private industry, they haven't been standing still in doing research in this area. What the CRC provides, which has been lacking, is a mechanism and an entity that can facilitate pulling all of that together. So rather than being a disparate effort, rather than being a whole lot of things going on in different silos, the CRC provides the ability to pull it all together into one place. But because that's been going on, we're going to be able to fire up really quickly and get stuff on the ground and get things happening almost immediately on establishment.
Will you be advising the parliamentary draftsman on how to write the laws or
around carbon trading?
Yes, and current, etc.
No.
You won't?
No.
They'll have to get their references from somebody. And
We won't advise. When I say we won't advise, I mean that we're not a lobby group, so we're not going to be seeking meetings with ministers and advising directly.
But they can read your literature.
Absolutely, and we absolutely have a space to play in, and we have language in our milestones around assisting in policy development, and we will do that just through providing the evidence of what's working and what isn't working.
Richard, the beef industry in particular, which we're interested in at present because this is called Beef Central, the beef industry appears to be always under attack from environmental and vegan critics, eager to see it part of, or out of business actually. Yet there's the alternative protein, which is the plant-based alternatives. The view is that it creates more carbon emissions than the livestock industry could ever create. Yet that doesn't seem to be addressed or promulgated in through most of the media. Is there any way the CRC would investigate that?
Yeah, look, I'd probably argue that it is starting to be addressed in the media more and more now about the, and I think that's why you're seeing, you know, the share prices of some of the companies in that place, in that space, really crashing, and the fortunes of those companies really turning around, as the early hype around how those alternative meats were going to be the solution to climate change. Now there's been a bit more focus sort of look applied to, well, do they actually do what they're supposed to do? What is their emissions profile? What are their health attributes? All those sorts of questions. As they get more investigated, it's realised, well, actually, it's not at all what we thought it was going to be. And I think you're seeing the reflection of that through, as I said, the share prices of those companies and their fortunes really turning around.
Will your work be communicated to the farmers and graziers of Australia?
Absolutely. So our biggest number of employees in the CRC will be in the extension area. We'll have state-based extension people and the producer demonstration sites that we talked about. Communications will be a critically important part of what we do because we have to deliver impact, and we can't deliver impact if people don't know what we're delivering, know what the advantages are, know how to adopt the technologies. So, you know, we will have to communicate and communicate well.
So a grazier running cattle up in the Kimberley can get to your website and find out what he needs to know as easy as a farmer in the Murray Valley once it can.
I would hope that it's more than just the website. I would hope that a farmer in the Kimberley will know where our producer demonstration site is, because we will have one up in that part of the world. As I said, we're going to have 25 of them around the country. They're going to have to be spread around everywhere. And you know, beyond that, just the demonstration of technologies, we'll have all sorts of channels where people can see what we're doing.
Where do you want to make your first impact?
Look, one of the things I'll just talk about briefly that I think is really exciting is in the production of, or the development of, new pasture species that result in lower methane emissions from the animals that graze those pasture species. I'm really particularly excited about this because it's a relatively easier adoption issue, you know, for farmers that are already planting pastures out. It's just a different seed. There's no other change in equipment, no other change in systems that are needed. You're just putting a different seed into what you normally do. And then once you get that pasture established, any animal that's eating that pasture is emitting less methane than they were before.
Early days in that, yep.
Actually, you know, a lot more advanced than you think. You know, there are species that are ready to be trialled commercially in the field. That will do that, and we'll have very significant reductions in methane as a result.
We'll look forward to that. Are you across Asparagopsis?
Yes, and we will be looking at a range of active compounds that can manipulate rumens to result in lower emissions as well. So while we will have an interest in the compounds themselves, one of the big areas that we'll be looking at is the delivery mechanisms, because as has been talked about often with Asparagopsis, once you get out in the rangelands and, you know, systems where you're only looking at cattle once a year,
that's difficult.
It's very difficult. Yeah. So how can we deliver those sorts of active compounds into more extensive grazing systems? And again, you know, there is technology that is surprisingly close to market around things like biodegradable plastics that active compounds can be embedded in, that can be used as a bolus, that go into animals and release those compounds over a long period of time. So that's another sort of technology that I think is really exciting that we'll be looking at as
maybe,
well.
Or
lick blocks as well. But how can we deliver these compounds once we develop them?
Look, we've run out of time, but I hope we can talk further in the future.
I look forward to it, Kerry.
Richard Heath, CEO of the Zero Net Emissions Agricultural Cooperative Research Centre. Thank you for your time on Beef Central.
Thanks very much.
That's it for another day. We'll be back very, very shortly with another special guest presented by Collier's Agribusiness.